The new book is out called Undaunted, My Fight Against America's Enemies at Home and Abroad. The author and former CIA director John Brennan joins me now on the KSRO Live Line. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Daniel. Good to talk with you.
You spent a long time in the CIA and in the intelligence community itself. What was the inspiration for you for writing this book?
Well, I wanted to share my experiences and what I was truly fortunate to have had over the last 33 years or so of government service to provide Americans insight and some glimpses into what life is like in the intelligence profession and in the national security world. And as I say in the opening preface of Undaunted, I really want to try to encourage young Americans to consider a career in public service, and specifically in national security, because our country faces some enormous challenges in the coming decades. And I want to try to entice young Americans with great skills and talents to consider pursuing a career in CIA or the intelligence community, law enforcement, not a core, but to give back to this great country of ours.
Just kind of when you're writing with this book, you start with the beginning of your career and you kind of go to your present day and through the end of your career when you were dismissed in January of 2017. How has the intelligence community and specifically the CIA have changed over that time?
Oh, I think it has changed dramatically because the world has changed dramatically since 1947 when the CIA was set up. You just look at the technological innovations that has changed our daily lives. For instance, so much activity takes place in that digital environment and cybersphere to include intelligence work, including by foreign intelligence services that try to undermine our security and our safety and our democratic way of life. And so the intelligence agencies really need to be quite adept in identifying these efforts by foreign services as well as by a variety of actors who are determined to try to hurt us. And so the CIA's role and mission has evolved along with the global evolution. And our ability to operate overseas, quite frankly, has been affected by the tremendous technical capabilities of foreign services to detect espionage activities in their countries. So clearly the CIA has to try to stay one step ahead of our adversaries. And I think that the CIA and the rest of the intelligence community have done a very, very good job of leveraging technology in the interests of national security.
And one of those things, the technologically speaking, that you write about itself was just kind of the use of drone strikes that have been used just during the war on terror. That's become much more prevalent within the past decade or so. Is that still an appropriate avenue to take as we continue to fight these actors that can continue to seek us to do harm?
Well, unfortunately, there still are a lot of individuals and groups that are determined to kill innocent Americans. And it is incumbent on any administration to take actions to prevent such attacks, whether it be against the homeland or against U.S. persons abroad. And unfortunately, sometimes the only way to stop those types of attack is to take offensive action against them. And you mentioned drones. These are the aerial platforms that are remotely piloted, that are able to dwell over a target for extended periods of time and to have confirmation that the individuals that they are observing are the actual terrorists who are trying to carry out these deadly attacks against Americans. And one of the benefits of the drone is that not only it doesn't put pilots in harm's way when they fly over these targets, but they have tremendous precision in terms of putting missiles onto a target within inches of accuracy. And so it is quite unfortunate that sometimes the administrations have to resort to using those offensive capabilities. But I must say that during the Obama administration, we were as rigorous as we could be in ensuring that we only took those strikes when absolutely necessary and when there was no other way to mitigate the terrorist threat to our citizens.
What do you make just of going into the current climate just within the Middle East itself?
Well, obviously, there's still a lot of work that needs to be done in the Middle East to allow individuals in various countries to have their say in their political systems. There still are a lot of authoritarian regimes and countries that do not allow political participation of their citizens in their governments. And also a lot of tensions, not just between nation states, such as between Iran and Saudi Arabia or Iraq, but also among various confessional, ethnic, religious groups that continue to vie for advantage in states where a political authority is being contested. So I think where the Middle East is going to continue to be in an area of the world that is going to unfortunately be beset by conflict and tensions, as well as humanitarian crises. We see what has happened in places like Yemen and Syria, as well as Iraq, where you have individuals who really are destitute as a result of war, conflict, and political oppression. So I think this is going to still be an area for many years to come that will have destabilizing effects more broadly than just in that region itself.
How is the region itself is affected by this COVID-19 pandemic? How would it be affected? And how does COVID-19 affect our overall national security?
Well, I think in particular, some of these refugee camps where you have thousands upon thousands of individuals who are living in very closely cramped quarters without proper hygiene, that COVID gets into those environments, it will spread like wildfire. And a lot of the individuals there are already malnourished or in a weakened state, so it can have devastating effects. And I don't think we have a good sense of exactly how prevalent the virus is in these areas because governments are not going to be testing or reporting on it. From a national security standpoint, we already see that there has been effects in a number of countries as far as government officials as well as people who work in the national security environment are felled by COVID-19. Now, in the United States, I have strong confidence that our military, intelligence, and law enforcement communities will continue to be, at the ready in terms of protecting our safety and security. But the impact on economies, not just the United States economy, but economies around the world, does have some effects on populations, on political tensions, and it can have even destabilizing impacts. So we still are unclear exactly what is going to be the future trajectory of this virus, but it certainly has been disruptive from an economic standpoint, from an employment standpoint. And therefore, I think also it tends to increase social tensions. So this is something that has far broader implications and impacts than just in the health area.
It's also affected our elections as well to a degree here in the United States. It kind of brings me to my next topic as well. How do you just see the security of the 2020 election for this November for Americans?
Well, I think the law enforcement, intelligence, and homeland security communities here in the United States have really tried over the last several years to make technical intrusions into the electoral system and into the voter registration rolls much more difficult. So I think there have been a lot of lessons learned from the 2016 experience. But the technical intrusions are just one part, and, quite frankly, it's a minor part of that foreign interference. What most concerning is the influence operations that foreign countries engage in the cyber domain, using the social media platforms, misrepresenting themselves as U.S. persons or organizations, and trying to shape the views and attitudes and votes of the American citizens. So I think we really need, as a country, to determine how we're going to protect the absolute right of freedom of speech and civil liberties and privacy, but at the same time, trying to guard against the manipulation and exploitation of that cybersphere, that digital domain, that malactors take advantage of, whether it be foreign actors or domestic actors. So I just would encourage all Americans to vote and to continue to rely on our authorities and institutions to protect the integrity and freedom of those elections.
Speaking with John Brennan, former CIA director and author of the new book, Undaunted, My Fight Against America's Enemies at Home and Abroad. You recently stated that the next few months could be very dangerous leading up to Inauguration Day, especially dangerous for this country. Why did you say that in terms of the presidential election?
Well, because I think it's clear that Donald Trump will resort to any tactic to try to secure his reelection. I think he has tried to use the intelligence agencies, the Department of Justice and others to advance his electoral prospects. And so I think we're going to continue to see that in the run-up to the election. But I think even after the election, Donald Trump has already said, you know, it's very unclear whether or not he's going to accept the outcome. He'll accept it if he is deemed the winner, but if he's not, who knows what he's going to do. And that period of time between Election Day and Inauguration Day, I think, is quite fraught because the powers of a president are enormous. And if he decides to wield them in a abusive way and in a manner that really tries to just protect himself and advance his own interests to the detriment of the country, I do think the United States is in for a rocky period of time. So I'm hoping the members of his party, the Republican Party, will try to restrain him from doing things that, again, are designed just to help himself and not protect the country.
Coupling that and along with the foreign election interference itself, is there a serious danger of the credibility of our election system may be seriously in jeopardy in the near future? Maybe not from an actual execution standpoint, but from a perception standpoint.
Yes, I think there is, particularly since the questions about the integrity of the election are being fueled by Donald Trump and others, who I think are making outlandish and inaccurate claims about the potential for fraud, for example, in mail-in ballots. Yes, our authorities, officials, have to do everything possible to guard against any misuse or abuse of, you know, ballots and the electoral systems. But I think Donald Trump is basically scaring individuals and making them believe that there is going to be active manipulation by certain government officials in states and by members of the Democratic Party, that I do think those claims are baseless. And so I do think the rhetorical flourishes and incitement that is coming out of Donald Trump in particular really does increase the perception of a potential, you know, fraudulent election. Well, I think the reality is far, far different.
Last question for you, John, and this one may seem like a broad question, but I would like you to answer it as best as you can. Where do you think this this country is heading in the near future, say in the next 10 years or so?
Well, I like to think that we're going to get on a better path soon, both domestically and internationally. I do think that over the last number of years that we have abandoned the global leadership role that the United States has played so well, I think, since World War II, the last 75 years or so, because the United States is an exceptional country with exceptional capabilities that I think it has to leverage for global peace and stability. But also I'm very, very concerned about the division that we are experiencing now here in the United States, the polarization between the far left and the far right. And I'm looking forward to a president and a White House that is going to try to repair some of those the damage that has been done internationally and domestically and try to unite us as best he or she can. Because I think it is so important that we have a better functioning society and government. So I do believe in the resilience of this country. I am an eternal optimist, but yet I still see enormous challenges on the horizon, not just in the digital domain, as I talk about, but the implications of climate change, inequality and inequity of income and wealth and employment opportunities. These are issues that our government and our society have to tackle. And if we're going to be just so engaged in this political, in these political fights, and not dealing more thoughtfully and effectively with these bigger issues. The United States is going to face a difficult decade and decades ahead.
The book is called Undaunted, My Fight Against America's Enemies at Home and Abroad. The author is John Brennan, and former CIA director. John, thank you very much for speaking with me today.
Thank you, Daniel.